Are you glad you're in the house of God today? Well, that's a pretty good response. I like that. Jeremiah in chapter 18 with me. The book of Jeremiah in your Bible in chapter 18. We're going to use this text as a kickoff text this morning for the message. Jeremiah in chapter 18. This message will be in two parts. You will get the first part this morning, then you get the second part this afternoon after the dinner. Sound good to you? Sounds good to me. I always like to eat in between because I get hungry from preaching. Then I get filled up, then I don't want to preach a second time. So that's your blessing. We'll see what happens. Jeremiah chapter 18. Would you stand with me as we read? Beginning Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse 1 of Jeremiah at chapter 18. Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd use us this morning to speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to get something from it that would help us, Lord, and that you'd have the glory and the honor, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. As I begin with this thought in this text this morning, you may be seated, by the way. If I begin with this thought in this text this morning, I'd just like to preach to you for a few moments on this thought. We're just an old lump of clay. Just an old lump of clay. Now, I mean, realize he's speaking to the house of Israel here, amen, in Jeremiah. But I want to apply this to the Christian life this morning for you and I. And if thought comes here, what does it take that for God to mold us or to shape us? How does God mold you? How does God shape you as a believer in Jesus Christ? And God will use many different things to shape us and different things to mold us as born-again believers saved by the very grace of God. Well, I wrote a couple of things down here. The first thought, if you go with me to the book of Ephesians, I have a number of scriptures to look up. We're not going to look up all of them. I'm going to give you some points, and you can write some of these down. But go to the book of Ephesians with me this morning as we begin. Let me get myself over there. Ephesians, and look at chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter 5, and go down to verse 25. The Bible says this: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Watch, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the what? The washing of the water by what? By the word. Listen one more time. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. What? He's talking about the church. The church, he said, we ought to love our wives the same way Christ loved the church. But how did he love the church? He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What's he used to mold you? What's he used to shape me? He uses his word. He uses the word. You ever read the Bible, going in your Bible reading? Maybe you're reading your Bible through in the year. I'm reading my Bible through this year and again. And I love it, amen. I'm hoping to get through two times this year. And we'll see what happens. I know a guy that got through the Bible 7 times in 1 year. That's a lot of times, amen. That's a lot of reading. I don't know if I can read that much. I got too many other things I want to do rather than read the Bible. Isn't that how it usually works? But we ought to want to be in the Word of God. Well, I don't want to read the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing what? The Word of truth. He will use the Bible, he will use his Word to speak to you, to draw you close to him, to change you, to help you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You read your Bible, there's times I've read things in the Bible that I've not seen before. I read the same verse 100 different times and never saw in that verse what I saw that time. And what spoke to my heart to help make a change in my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. He will help mold you and shape you through his word. Sad when a born-again believer says they're saved by the grace of God, but not in the word of God. There's a lot of people in churches that don't read their Bible. Why? And what happens when they don't read their Bible? They're still the same as they've always been, other than that they're saved. Their attitude don't change. Their lifestyle doesn't change. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. A lot of things in my life changed when I first got saved. Man, a lot of other things changed after I started reading the Bible, going to church, studying the Word of God. Amen. It'll make a difference in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. For me, when I first got saved, I'm going to tell you, the drugs went out the window. The alcohol went out the window. The filthy language went out the window. Man, I struggled with the cigarettes for about 2 years after I was saved. I wish they would have went out the window at the same time, but I did not understand. But the more I read the Word of God, the more I realized that that wasn't good for me, and that God wanted me to stop it and change that, amen, in our life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Study the Word. And then in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. Anybody know what Psalm 119, verse 11 says? Thy word, what have I? That I might not sin against God. Amen. That I might not sin against God. So we need to study the Word. We need to memorize the Word. When's the last time you memorized a verse of Scripture? When's the last time you memorized just one verse? Not a passage, but a verse. I was out in New England a few years ago, and I met a young man, two young men, that memorized Scripture. They weren't from the same home. They were two different fellows. One encouraged the other one, and they memorized Scriptures. And I remember them getting up in a meeting where I was there, and one of them quoted the book of 1 John from the first chapter through the fifth chapter. It was a whole book, 1 John. And then I remember another guy got up and he preached the whole, memorized it and quoted the whole book of Ephesians, you know, all six chapters of Ephesians. I'm not saying you have to memorize a whole book, amen. It wouldn't hurt you, but I'm not saying you have to do it. But memorize Scripture, memorize verses. A home church, I love it. My home church, every week, every month, we have a new Scripture up on the screen behind us, and we'll quote that once in the morning, once in the afternoon, usually. It gets quoted during the church services. And boy, it puts memorization, or puts it in people's mind to memorize Scripture. And well, we ought to memorize Scripture, amen? We ought to, because that's what God will use to help you to understand what you ought to be, what you ought to do, how you ought to live, how you ought to change, how he wants to work in your heart and your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. So he molds us through his word by study, by memorization, and then he molds us through his word that we ought to walk in his word. Look at Psalm 119 with me, the book of Psalms, and the 119th Psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalms 119. And when you get to Psalms 119, let me get myself over there. My fingers are sticking anymore. They're not. They're so smooth, you know. I used to have some calluses on there. I got girl's hands now, I think. I mean, just kidding. Amen. I got a job one time because of the calluses that were on my hand. The guy who interviewed me said, "Let me see your hands." He looked at my hands. I had calluses all over me. He said, "You got the job." I said, "Why did you give me a job?" He said, "I can tell you work." Anyway, I said, "But that'll work for me." He wouldn't hire me today because I ain't got no calluses left. Amen. My wife said I have a calloused heart, but, you know, what can I say? You know, look at 119, verse 133 with me. 133. Well, 119, verse 133 says this: "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." That'd be a good verse just to memorize. Amen. Listen to it one more time. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." He wants us to walk in his word. "Oh, order my steps, Lord. Help me to walk according to what your Bible says. Help me to do what I ought to." You ever done something and then you walk away and you felt good, but the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and said, "That wasn't right"? I'll put my hand up with that one. Amen. You ever done that? And you know that you should go back and make that right when that happens? Amen. Go back and take care of it, deal with it the right way. And you know, we just need to make sure that we're where we ought to be as believers in Jesus Christ with the Lord. Look at Psalm 119, verse 140. Just a few more verses down, the Bible says this: "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant," what? loveth it. So he molds us through his word by study, by memorization, by walking in the word, and by loving his word. Listen to verse 140 again. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do you love the word of God? Amen. Some people say, I can't read as easy. I can't sit in my chair and I have my devotions in the morning, reading through my Bible, and I'm reading, and I notice I'm having a harder time. The older I get, the harder time I'm having focusing. And the more I look at it, the more things get fuzzy, you know. And so I'll get my iPad out and I'll open up and I'll get my font real big on my iPad so I can read my Bible in the morning, amen. And so we ought to, but I'm looking for a large print Bible now. And but I'm just too much of a tightwad to buy one, you know. But I'm going to get a large print. That way I can at least read the Bible, because it's getting harder to see it, harder to read it. And I have to have a lot of the light on it. If I don't, I can't read it, because it just doesn't. Anybody else like that besides me? Your eyes don't focus like they used to focus? And you think you got a pair of sunglasses on, they're not sunglasses? Amen. Oh, boy. Through his word, so study, memorize it, walk in his word, love the word. That's how he molds you and shapes you. And then 1 Thessalonians, you can go there if you want to. But chapter 5, most of you know the verse. Verse 17 says what? Pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And he tells us right after that, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. That's the next two verses, amen. We need to be in prayer. We need to be coming to God. We need to be talking to him. And we need to share our burdens with him and our heart with him, that he will work in our heart. And don't just go praying for everybody else. You ought to. But pray for yourself that God will get a hold of your heart and change your life and work in your life. I hope this morning before you came to church that you prayed. Before I go to church, I like to pray no matter who's preaching. I like to pray. I don't always do it because sometimes it just goes out of my mind. But I try to pray and ask God, whatever's going to be said today, use it to help me to learn something, to see something that will benefit me as a believer in Jesus Christ, to bring on. Listen, not that I'm going to do anything great, but that it'll bring honor and glory to him as a child of God in my life, because I want him to mold me and to shape me. Josh, could you hand me that bottle of water down there again? My mouth gets awful dry anymore when I'm preaching. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Anybody else like a sip of this before I... I got a cold, but you can still have a sip. No. Study to show thyself approved of the Bible. But then he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 again, pray without ceasing. So he'll mold you through his word, and he will mold you through prayer. He will mold you through prayer. There have been times I've been praying when God spoke to my heart while I have been praying. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 again, through prayer, by giving thanks and everything, give thanks, for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything, no matter what's going on in your life, we need to learn to give thanks for that. Now, can I tell you something? That's hard. Amen. That's hard. Because you might be going through something that nobody else that you know has gone through. And you're just wondering, how in the world are you going to use us, God? And you might say to me, you might say, Brother Mike, you don't know what happened in my life. You're right. I don't. But he does. Yeah. Amen. He does. And so your trust has to be him and not yourself, not somebody else. Because he is the one that will help us. He is the one we are to give thanks to, no matter if it's good, no matter if it's bad, no matter if it's hard, no matter if it's easy, no matter what it is, we need to give thanks to God for his glory, for his honor, that we would grow thereby as the children of God. You learn to give thanks to God in everything, that'll begin to change you. I want to tell you, that'll change your outlook, that'll change your attitude, that'll change what God wants of you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And then by not quenching the spirit, we already quoted that, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So through prayer and by not quenching the spirit, not throwing a bucket of water on them. You ever tell somebody something that God's doing in your life and they say, oh, that's great, and they walk away, you know? I've had people, when I was in Newfoundland, Canada, back in 92, I think we were there, 92 or 93, something like that, my wife and I and our two daughters. In fact, it had been 93 because my wife was pregnant with our son, Cale, at the time, and we were in Newfoundland, Canada for 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks, helping a church get up and get running and doing vacation. I think we did 3 vacation Bible schools. I saw 20-some people get saved while I was up there, had a little revival meeting every Sunday. I preached for 5 weeks in a row every Sunday up there, man, had people getting saved, coming to church. Well, what a blessing. What a blessing it was, amen. And I remember there was a boy that came. He was a friend of the preacher's son, and he came to church and he got saved that Sunday morning, or that Monday evening. He got saved that Monday evening, and he was excited about it. He went home and told. Now here's the thing: his mother and his father were Methodist. I'm not preaching against Methodism. But you get up out of this country, and it's a lot different out of this country. There's some other countries in around here sometime. And Methodism up there, all it was just a social gospel. So he went home and told his mom and dad, I got saved tonight. And we asked him, well, what did they say? The next day he said, well, that's good, son. Glad to hear it. And just walk away from him. I don't know about you, but when my grandchildren call me on the phone, they say, Grandpa, I got saved. I shout with them. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Grandpa, can you come to my baptism? No, I'm out in meetings. Oh, Grandpa, you can't make it. No, I'm 182 miles away, and I can't get there on Sunday morning because I'm preaching Sunday morning. But, boy, I get excited with them. Amen. But not him. You know what his parents did there? They threw a bucket of water on him, quenching the spirit. Don't quench the spirit in your life. Don't quench the spirit in somebody else's life. Amen. Be a blessing. And then the Bible in the book of Ephesians, when we pray, giving thanks, and pray by not quenching the spirit of God. And then go to Ephesians in chapter 6 with me. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians again in chapter 6. And over in Ephesians in chapter 6, here's what we read. Beginning down, I'm just going to read one verse here, down in verse 18, Ephesians 6:18. The Bible says this, praying always. Now, I might be there before you guys get there, but just listen and keep up that way, amen. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying for others. He will mold you and shape you and help you by you praying for other boys. It's a blessing. When I pray for somebody else, I see the prayers get answered. And it's not because I'm praying. It's because many, 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 many people are praying. But it's a blessing when you're praying for somebody and you see that prayer answered. Amen. That does something. I've heard seen people that have prayed and they say, I'm not getting any answers to my prayer. Well, maybe God's not ready to answer that prayer. Amen. He answers prayer. Sometimes he answers prayer right now. I've seen it. In fact, I've seen him answer the prayer before I prayed and didn't know it was answered until after I prayed. I remember one time we were having a difficult time financially, and I had to come up with some money real quick. I just started praying, okay, Lord, you know what I need, and we're praying that you take care of this need for us and somehow bring it in. And I went to the mailbox that day, and it was in the mailbox. The Lord had already sent it out to me. I wonder if I didn't pray. Listen, I wonder if I didn't pray if it would have got lost in the mail. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Prayer works, my friend. Prayer works. It's what God wants from you and what God wants from me. And we need to pray for others as a child of God. And in Matthew chapter 6, go to Matthew in chapter 6 with me. Over the book of Matthew in chapter 6. I'm reading through Matthew right now. It's one of the books I'm reading through in the morning. I read through a different book every morning of the Bible. I read not through the whole book, but I read passages every morning, 7, 8, 9, 10 passages every morning. That way I can get through the whole Bible without starting to begin and going to the end. Amen. It really helps you. It really helps me. I don't know if it works for you like that, but it works good for me. And over Matthew in chapter 6, I think I just finished Matthew up. I'm getting ready to start. I'll finish up Matthew tomorrow. Yeah, Matthew in chapter 6, getting ready to start in Mark pretty quick here. Over in the book of Matthew in chapter 6, look down to verse 9 with me. The Bible says this: "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." We know he's going to pray. "Our Father, which art in heaven." Now, how many of us have ever heard that is the Lord's Prayer? Isn't that what they say? Can I tell you what? That's not the Lord's Prayer. That is the Lord's pattern for prayer. You want to see the Lord's Prayer, go over and read the book of John chapter what? 17. John chapter 17. That's where the Lord is praying. Here he says, listen, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Here's how I want you to pray. He's teaching you how to pray. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And that name, hallowed, it means acknowledging God as holy. It means to see him as holy. It means to make him holy. You can't make God holy, but make him holy in your life. Recognize how holy God really is. "Hallowed be thy name." God, you are holy, and I recognize you as holy. And when I pray before you, I realize I'm coming before the Holy One of Israel. I'm praying to the Holy One to save my soul, praying for the Holy One that wants to save somebody else's soul, praying to the Holy One, God Almighty. Recognize God for who he is. He is holy, holy, holy. And then, not just through his word and through prayer, but through his Spirit, he will mold you and shape you through his Spirit. Look at Romans in chapter 8 with me, the book of Romans in chapter 8 in your Bible. Romans in chapter 8. Let me get myself over there too again. All right. Sometime here, I'll get there. Here we go, Romans chapter 8. I should have all these marked in my Bible when I get up here, and I don't. I just, like you, I got to turn to them. Does your brain ever go dead on you? Yeah. Just a while back here, I was sitting in the Wednesday night service with my wife, and on one side my daughter, on the other my son-in-law is doing the service. I'm sitting down there, and we're I'm in between the two, it's down in the lower level of the church because it's easier to heat in the winter. And so I'm sitting between the two, and my son-in-law says, "Dad, go to the book of Job and look up this verse." You know, because he has everybody look up a different verse on Sunday night. And I'm sitting there, and I drew a blank. I mean, it was gone. And so I'm starting, my wife says, "Don't you know where it's at?" You know, and she says, "You need help." I said, "No, I don't need help." My daughter says, "It's before Psalms." I know it's before Psalms, amen. And just drew a complete blank, and I know the books of the Bible, amen. Does that ever happen to you, amen? I tell you what, boy. You walk out of the room and you can't remember why you walked out of the room. And after the third time of walking back and forth, you get something else and still forget what you want to do. Amen. My wife will go by me and sometimes to her from our back bedroom up to where her sewing room is in the place we have, and she'll say, "Vitamin, vitamin, 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 vitamin." She'll walk all the way by me, and I'll say, "Book, book, book," as she's walking, trying to confuse her. "Stop that," she says, you know. Oh, boy. But through his Spirit, look at Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans in chapter 8, and down to verse 10. The Bible says this: "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But by the way, now that's not your righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Amen. So if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Before you got saved, you were dead. Dead in sin. Now you're alive in Christ. Amen. Then he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or make dead, that's what that word means, make dead, and mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So he will shape you through word, shape you through his prayer, and he will mold you or shape you through his Holy Spirit. By recognizing as a believer in Jesus Christ, your position with God. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 now. Verse 15, he says this, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what the term Abba means? Literally, daddy. It means a close relationship. It means I remember my daughters, when they would come up and sit on my lap and just throw their arms around my neck. And I always used to pick up and say, what do you want now, you know? Just love you, daddy. Love you, daddy. I used to love that, amen. Now, I don't want them sitting on my lap anymore, amen. They're too big today to sit on daddy's lap. But I sure love it when I get hugs from him. I have a grandson. He's 17 years old. And no matter where I'm at, when he comes in the room, he will come over, bend over, and give me a hug, and he'll kiss me. But now he's got the habit. He'll bend over because he's so tall. He's like 6'3". He'll bend over, and he'll kiss me on the top of my head when I'm standing there beside him. Everybody just laughs. But he always comes in, no matter where I'm at. I can be sitting in my chair. He comes in and gives me a hug. And before I leave, he'll come up and give me a hug. What a blessing, amen. But that's how we ought to be with God. Does your heart cry out, Abba, Father? Your relationship with the Lord? Through his spirit, he molds you by recognizing your position with God. And then by understanding your freedom from the bondage of sin, Romans chapter 6, just a couple of pages back, Romans in chapter 6. And over in Romans in chapter 6 and down to verse 18, he makes this statement. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now look at verse 5 through 7 of the same text, Romans 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So he molds us through his spirit by recognizing our position with God. He molds us through his spirit by our understanding our freedom from the bondage of sin. You don't have to sin. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I'm preaching that we need to sin less. Amen. Because none of us will have sinless perfection until we get to heaven. There's not one person in here that sometime in your life since you have been saved that you have not sinned. And I would dare say we could go back for this week and maybe say the same thing. Through some thought, some thing, some attitude, something. Amen. The Lord works in our hearts. He wants us to understand our freedom from that bondage of that sin. And then by walking in the Spirit, go to Galatians in chapter 5 with me. In your Bibles, Galatians in chapter 5. Over in the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and down to verse 22, we read this. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, that's not the fruits of the Spirit. That's the fruit. That's one fruit with many parts. Amen. It doesn't say fruits. It's not plural. It's one fruit. That means all those things ought to be part of our life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Some people would say, well, you know, I'm okay because I have joy and I have peace. But some of them ain't got very much long-suffering. Amen. And we ought to work on all of these as believers in Jesus Christ. So he wants to mold us through that. He wants to make us to be what we ought to be by practicing his word, by walking in the Spirit of God. Verse 24 says, "And they that are crucified have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Verse 25. So he molds us or shapes us through his Spirit by recognizing our position with God, by understanding our freedom from bondage to sin, and then by walking in the Spirit. And then by not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, where he says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where we are sealed unto the day of redemption." Amen. You're sealed there with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption as believers in Jesus Christ. You know what that means? You can't lose your salvation. Aren't you glad for that? He saved you by his grace. He keeps you saved by his grace because he says you're sealed there with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You know where the scripture says in the book of John, it says, "My year in my hand, no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. You're in the hand of my Father, and no man is able to what? To pluck you out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You're in the hand of the Son and the hand of the Father. And then you're sealed there with the Holy Spirit of promise. You can't take yourself out. You can't get out. And he will never throw you out. Isn't that good? Just to know that you're saved by the very grace of God. And he is him that does all the work. I mean, understand something. I am a whosoever will may come. Anybody can come and get saved if they'll put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, calling upon him. And then fourthly, and we'll be done with this one, he will mold you through his church. He will mold you through his church. Look at 1 Timothy with me for a moment. The book of 1 Timothy, you're just a few pages away. 1 Timothy. And let's see, First Timothy chapter, what I got here, chapter 3. Over 1 Timothy chapter 3, and down to verse 14, we read this. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of truth, and without controversy, great is the ministry of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and preached unto you, unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." He will use the church to mold you, to shape you, to help you grow as a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, he uses the church in three different ways. I've got three different ways. You might have more yourself. You're welcome to add to it. But in gathering us together, he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, "Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." And it's exhorting, it's challenging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of Jesus Christ coming back. It's close. Amen. I know Paul thought it was close. I know Timothy thought it was close. I believe it's close. Amen. It maybe in our lifetime, maybe not. It'd be great if the Lord take me up out of here right now. I wouldn't mind it. Amen. I'd be in glory. I'd like to live a little bit longer, but I wouldn't mind being taken in the rapture of the church. That'd be great. Then wouldn't that be good? You wouldn't have to worry about dying. Yeah. Amen. And I don't worry about dying anyway because I'm going to heaven when I die. A doctor told me a few years back, he said, you should have been dead 3 times. So, well, my brother said, no, it should have been 4 times. I said, 4 times? He said, yeah, that time when we were out that night and you walked off that roof at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, we're not talking about that. Amen. What were you doing on the roof at 3 o'clock in the morning, Brother Mike? None of your business. Amen. Well, you think I went to prison? God saved me. Hallelujah. Or I'd be out on your roof at 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe. God's so good. The gathering together. Forsake not the gathering together as the manner of some is. If anybody had a reason not to gather together, it would have been the early church. They were being persecuted. They were being slaughtered. They were being put in prison for what they believed. They were being killed. They were being crucified. Peter got crucified upside down. Because he was, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Imagine that. If anybody had a reason not to gather together at all, it would be them. But Paul in Hebrews says, listen, forsake not that gathering together as the manner of some is. Some aren't doing it. You need to do it. Just get together, hold together, stay together. Why? There's a reason for that. Because we get encouragement from the house of God. And then in practicing our worship of God together, look at Acts chapter 2. We only got a couple more scriptures to look at. The book of Acts in chapter 2. Over in Acts in chapter 2. And look with me, if you will, at verse 42. Verse 42 says this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now look down to verse 46 with me. They did this together, continued steadfastly. Verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They continued continually. Now, we don't go every day to the church. Amen? If you have revival meetings or missions conference, you ought to be here. But these folks were every day. Every day. They were going to break bread one with another. Why? Because they practiced their worship of God together. Not just in gathering together, but they practiced their worship of God together. And then he will use his church. Look at Matthew chapter 18 with me, and this would be the last one, Matthew chapter, and you're probably thinking, well, praise the Lord, he's done yelling at me. No, Matthew chapter 18 with me, and look down to verse, because he will use this, he will use church discipline to mold you and to shape you. And let's read this, and I'm going to tell you something after we read this. I'll share an illustration with you. Verse 17 says, and if he says, well, let's go. Now, let's go back to verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established, that you have something to back you up, that they will say, That's what the pastor said. That's what the person said. They didn't say what he's saying he said. This is what he said. That's what he's talking about there. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Bring it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now, what was a heathen man? Was a heathen man allowed to join the church? No. Was a publican? No. Not until they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. So he says, it's not that he's saying this man's not saved. He's saying, but you treat him like one that's not saved. Otherwise, you church discipline, you remove him from the membership of the church. Now, when I was pastoring, I had a young lady that was a member of the church. I'm going back to 1986, probably this happened. Was a member of the church I was pastoring. And she was living with a guy in her father's home. And they came to me and said, we'd like to have you do our wedding, Brother Mike, pastor. And I said, in the spring, I said, I'll only do your wedding in the spring on two conditions. I said, the first condition is this. You have to move out of the house where she's at, go back to where you were at. Or he said, I used to live with my sister, then go back to your sister's house, you know. And he said, okay, I'll do that. I said, my second condition is you have to come in for counseling. Because, see, she already had a baby by him. But I do not believe that childbirth is a prerequisite for marriage. Understand that? Because some ladies get pregnant but have nothing, the man had nothing to do with them. I don't always believe that's always a prerequisite for marriage. So if someone will disagree with me on that, that's fine. I don't care. You know, that's my position, always has been. So they split out and they were getting ready to come to counseling, and it was about 2 months later. This was winter, and about 2 months later, he comes to me and he says, Pastor, he says, she's buying a home, a trailer, out in the trailer park, and she doesn't have enough money to take care of it and pay the rent. And I said, well, then help her pay the rent. You're going to get married. Help her pay the rent. He says, well, I'm going to move in there, and I'm going to sleep on the couch in the front room, and she's going to be in the bedroom. I just looked at him. I said, brother, I said, how long do you think that's going to last? I said, I'm not stupid, and you're not stupid. I said, so if you do this and moving in there, the Bible says abstain from all appearance of what? Sin. You're not abstaining from the appearance of sin. Even if something's not going on, people are going to think something's going on. And you're a born-again believer saved by the grace of God. He said, I'm going to move in. I said, okay, then I'm not doing a wedding. So I didn't. It came to me a couple of months later. Now, she was a member of the church. He was not a member when this happened. When he moved in there, I had to bring her to the church for discipline. Met with her, talked with her, took two or three with me, talked with her and dealt with her and took it to the church, and she wouldn't leave him. She'd stay right there. So we removed her from the membership. Her father was a member of our church. Her two sisters, three sisters were a member of her. Two sisters were a member of our church. Her brother was a member of our church. They stayed at the church. I had people in the church. It was a small congregation, about 32, 35 people. And had the people of the church come to me and said, they're going to leave. Her parents are going to get mad. This is going to cause a problem. I said, but if it causes a problem, that's fine. But what's biblical is biblical. What's truth is truth. What's right is right. And we're not going to do something wrong to make somebody happy. We're going to do what's right to follow the very word of God. That spring, he came to me and said, Pastor, he said, we were wrong, and you were right, and we're sorry. We're going tomorrow to the justice of the peace. Would you come and stand up for us? I said, I will do that. So I went that next morning to them, to the justice of peace, and stood up for them, and came back to the church on that Monday. The next Sunday, they came to church, and they both got up and said, Pastor, can we say something? I said, yep. They both got up, came up in front of the church, and apologized and said, what we have done was wrong, and we've asked God to forgive us, we've asked Pastor to forgive us, and we are asking you to forgive us. Now, that's not where the story stops. She comes back into the fellowship of the church. We reinstate her. He joins the church, gets baptized, and now he's doing what's right, being obedient to God, raising their child in church, ends up becoming a youth director in that church. ends up becoming, after I left to the next pastor, he became a youth worker, and then he also became a deacon of the church. And today that church is no longer there. It's dissolved, but there are other people who were there, him and his wife and his children, all go to Central Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, where they have grown in the Lord and still a member there today. Why? Because we did what was biblically right. The Lord will use church discipline to mold a person, to shape a person, to cause them to do right. Not everybody's going to do right. People are going to get mad sometimes, and people won't come back sometimes, but that's because their heart is not where it ought to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he will use the word. He will use prayer. He will use the church. He will use worship. He will use his spirit to mold you and to shape you and to bring you to where he wants you to be as a child of God. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. I'm just going to ask a ballpark question. Did the Lord speak to your heart about something? Just slip up your hand. Mike asked me, the Lord spoke to my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you. Before I pray, if the Lord spoke to your heart, I want you to slip out of your seat and come up here to the altar. You come. God bless you. God bless you. You just come. Or sit on the front pew. You can sit on the front pew. You don't have to come all the way up here. I know it's hard to get up and down. I'm having a hard time getting up and down anymore.
I can't do
that. Me neither. Just sit on the front pew. I want to pray for you while you're up here. Anybody else, you just feel the need to come, you just slip out of your seat and you come. God bless you. You just slip out and come. Anybody else? Slip out and come. Slip out and come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these your children. Father, not just for the ones that came forward, Father, but for all of them. God, you'd have your word and your work in their life. And Father, they would do what it takes to mold them and to shape them, Father. And some, maybe even up here this morning, need to confess some things to you, Father, that haven't been right in their life, and they know it. I ask, Father, help them as they're praying to talk to you, Father, and to give it over to you. And let you use your word today to mold them and to shape and to cause them to be obedient to thee. Help them, dear Lord, please, that you might be magnified and lifted up upon high. That you would have the honor and the glory, Father. We praise and we give you the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll let these go back to their seat when they are done. Brother Ray.
We're going to take up a love offering too for Brother Patterson and his family. Lord,